It's been said that rock and roll is a vicious game. Sex, drugs, lies, betrayal, and many times even death are all too common in this scene. On this week's Ludini Rock and Roll Circus podcast, we're going to discuss 10 films that showcase the dark side of rock and metal. It's going to be brutal, guys. You've been warned.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Sitting next to me in the co-pilot chair this evening is...
Do you need me to say my name?
Sitting in the co-pilot chair with me this evening is...
Lily V6, Rock Lily... Rage Radio.
Rock Rage Radio. So we are on Rock Rage Radio. Please go to rockrageradio.com. Download the app. You can hear great guitar-driven rock 24/7 all the time, totally freaking free. Just download that damn app. You can walk. Look, guys, you're walking around with this thing in your pocket, one of these mobile devices in your pocket. You might as well be listening to good music while you're doing it. I'm just saying. Speaking of great music, if you want to, if you are a fan of the great guitar-driven rock of the 70s, 80s, 90s, and even today, the place you want to hang out, the place where the cool people are all chilling and talking about music and getting to know each other, plus getting a lot of great exclusive music and cool stuff there, you want to go to LouLombardiRocks.com. That's our hub. That's our community. Check it out. All kind of cool freebies there. A little Facebook Messenger bot pops up and takes you through the whole thing and shows you all the goodies you can get. You go to LouLombardiRocks.com. Shout out to our longtime sponsor at Wolf's Custom. It's Chris Thunderwolf Dodson. Big fan of the show. We love Chris Thunderwolf Dodson and his business, Wolf's Customs. Here's what's going to happen, guys. Okay. You're going to get your guitar, your bass, your ukulele, whatever you got, your drums, and you're going to get them out and you're going to look at them and you're going to go like, these things are cool, but they need a really awesome custom finish from Wolf's Customs so that when I get up on stage to rock out, or if I get on Zoom to do a Zoom or Facebook Live or whatever I'm going to do, I need an instrument that's going to really stand out. It's going to grab people's attention. So this is where Wolf's Customs comes in. You contact Wolf, Chris Thunderwolf Dodson at Wolf's Customs, wolfscustoms.online, and he will take you through the process of getting a custom finish on your instrument. He does a great job. Check him out, wolfscustoms.online. So, hey, help us out. One of the ways you want to support great guitar-driven rock, support our sponsor. A lot of people that hang out with us are musicians. So this is something for you guys. Anyways, it's been another sort of like busy, but well, how busy can you be when you can't really go too many places, right, Lily?
I mean, all I've been doing is hiking.
Hiking.
And Lily don't hike, so.
yeah, I've been doing a lot of hiking and a lot of running as well. Writing some new songs. I'm pretty excited. I'm getting ready to release a couple more real soon. I have one in the can, one almost done. Are we whistling? I think we're whistling Dixie there. But Mike Ofka has produced one for me that's ready to come out. I need some artwork. I've been talking to somebody about that, so maybe you can help me with that later. Hmm. And I've got another one that Chris Ruane from Fist Fight in the Parking Lot is producing for me. And that's about done too. So some good stuff. My band is writing. We're writing together, so we're going to have some cool music coming out for you guys as well. We have a great show. I'm going to get into it here in a minute. We always start out the show with... a band. And this week, I've never played any of these bands before. Never. I've not played one. The one band that we're going to, the second band, Young Other, I discovered through, Anthony Leone from Silk Nine.
Yeah.
He posted them on Facebook and I listened to them and I really liked them. We're not playing their brand new song, is a Nirvana cover. We're going to play an original song of theirs, but we're going to open these other bands I discovered from Twitter. Twitter is an awesome resource. You've just got to clean up your Twitter feed and get rid of all the politics and stuff like that. Block all that and just follow music stuff, and you will discover so much really cool music and bands you can reach out to. Other podcasters. I made a bunch of connections this week, so I'm really excited about it. But this is a band called Black Actress. They say that their big influence is one of your favorite bands, Motley Crue.
Oh, wonderful. So
this is
we'll
a band
see.
Called Bad Actors, High Speed Heartbreak on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.
Yeah.
High Speed Heartbreak, everybody. That is Bad Actress. And I do believe those boys have one of those things called a website or some sort of thing. Where can we find? Oh, their Facebook web address is facebook.com/badactressband. Check them out. I guess I had to go with Bad Actress Band, so not to be confused with all the bad actresses out there. I'm just saying. Legit, right, Lily?
Legit.
We have a great show for you guys today. We're talking about these disturbing rock doc. Most of them are metal, actually. But there is a few birthday shout outs we need to do real quick. And of course it is my generation, Pete Townsend, birthday today, born in 1945. Shout out to Dusty Hill, one third of ZZ Top. One of them bad boys from Texas.
Right.
Phil Rudd from AC/DC, drummer from AC/DC, and Joey Ramone.
Joey.
Joey from the rock band The Ramones. So happy birthday to all you guys out there. Hope you're having a great time. Hope you're living it up. Hope you're partying in your private bar or wherever you are. Okay, and Bill Damiano, Kevin O'Connor are watching. So they appreciate you guys. Leave us some comments. We do appreciate that. Okay, so let's get into it. Lily, is there an order or are you just jumping in?
I don't have them in an order.
We don't really have an order.
I
think we should save this for like later or maybe even last.
You want me to do that last?
Okay. Yeah, so let's start with Lamb of God.
Okay, that's what I was going to start with. Crazy. So Lamb of God, As the Palaces Burn. This was actually supposed to be sort of a film that was following them on their tours, and it kind of like did a flip-flop, and there was a dramatic turn of events halfway through the shooting. The lead singer, Randy Blythe...
No, there wasn't a shooting in the movie, though. Sorry.
No, not a shooting. There was... The lead singer, Randy Blythe, got arrested in Prague in 2012 for manslaughter of Daniel Nosek, a fan who was allegedly pushed off the stage by Blythe and killed, obviously. But after that happened, the whole documentary turned into a courtroom drama. Basically, it followed the entire case and watched it unfold. It was super high profile, and of course, he was found innocent. But that was kind of a cool thing because of how like, it was supposed to be one thing, and when it whoosh, completely.
What I found really fascinating about the case and about the documentary is they really did the right thing. Randy could have hit out. He didn't have to go back,
right,
to the Czech Republic. He didn't have to, but he did.
He said
he felt that he was innocent. He wanted to prove his innocence. And the court did sort of find, and I can't remember the exact words. They said that he was innocent, but they also felt he was morally responsible, mm-hmm, or something like that for the incident, which is, I don't know, you know, somebody had that, you know, get something thrown at them for it. But he was in jail, like, in the beginning when they arrested him initially. Mm-hmm. But he didn't really do any actual time for the situation because they sort of felt that the security and the promoter were more responsible.
A little at fault there.
Yeah, for what happened. Interesting enough, I saw an interview with him where, more recent interview where he said that they don't really, he doesn't want to go back and play Prague. He loves Prague, but he doesn't want to go back and play it because he just feels like it would be disrespectful to the family. He doesn't want to like dredge.
He doesn't want to bring up some old feelings.
You know what I mean?
Which I understand.
Make people feel bad, stuff like that. He says, unless they invited them to do some kind of benefit or something for the family. He says he just didn't, he just doesn't feel that that's cool. So the thing that I really kind of like, because unlike the rest of the documentaries on this list, okay, this is completely different because this is an incident where these rockers kind of stood up and acted like responsible adults. They said,
which doesn't
wait a minute
happen.
There's a screw up here. We want to make sure things are taken care of the right way. We're going to go back even though we could end up in trouble. We are going to go back and
do the right thing
and like take responsibility and everywhere and to the best of our ability and obey the law and everything. And it's that, some of the reviews I read about this, some of the commentary I've read about this documentary, was that's really what shocked people. Mm-hmm. Because people were sort of expecting, well, these are sleazy rock and rollers.
They're just going to do what
they're going to hide out. They're going to try to get away with it. Vince Neil. Or try to pay it off or do something. And it's all on video. Now, it is a documentary. It is edited, et cetera. And it is an attempt. The guy that made the documentary does want to show the band in the best light possible. It's a friendly documentary. It's not hostile or anything like that. So, but still, unlike the rest of the documentaries on this list, this is completely different because of that. So, interesting documentary. I watched some highlights from it and read about it. This is not a list of one that I have actually seen. So, all right. So, Lamb of God, As the Palace Burns. What do you got next?
Just before we start, you can find all of these documentaries trailers online if you want to watch that before you go and maybe look these up if you haven't seen them. So it kind of gives you an insight as to what's
also
going
some
on
of them. Some of them are absolutely free on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You have to put up with Spanish subtitles on some of them, but they're there.
So I'm just going to go ahead and do the one that everybody's probably seen, The Decline of the Western Civilization Part 2, The Metal Years, which was from 1988. And it chronicles the late 80s LA heavy metal scene with the emphasis placed on the glam metal subgenre. They do feature the more established artists like Alice Cooper, Ozzy, Aerosmith, Dave Mustaine, Paul Stanley, etc. But they also give some credit to many unsigned LA club bands like London, which I don't know. I'm sure you're familiar with London, but it featured like Nikki Sixx, Blackie Lawless, Izzy Stradlin, Steven Adler, Slash. Those kind of guys were all in that band at one time. Odin and Seduce are the other two bands they touch on. A lot of the scenes in this documentary are showing rock stars in their excess. So like all the extra footage is like, so examples would be like Chris Holmes from Wasp was interviewed.
That is the most
disturbing one.
Yeah. It's sad. It's kind of tragic.
Yeah. He was in a swimming pool and he's pouring vodka all over himself saying what a piece of crap he is. And he's a full blown alcoholic.
Is that his mother?
Yeah. It was his poor mother watching this happen in the documentary with him. And I think she wasn't even well at the time that this happened, but that was one of the things they show. Randy O from Odin was in a hot tub surrounded by half-naked ladies stating that that his band will become more famous than Led Zeppelin and The Doors, and he thought that superstardom would cause him to think about suicide, so that's all on there. And The Favorite, which I think is faked from what I read, Ozzy in the kitchen with cooking the breakfast, juice. Talking about his wild lifestyle and, you know, the whole orange juice thing.
During that interview with Ozzy, he's cooking breakfast. And they appear to zoom in on his hands as he's pouring orange juice. And you see the orange juice. He pours the orange juice all over the table or the counter. Penelope Spheeris said that they staged that.
Yeah.
They were like, they filmed the whole thing and then they said, hey, why don't you dump the orange juice on the table? It'll be funny. So, I mean,
Whatever.
Some people have made a bigger deal out of that. This is where Lily and I are going to slightly disagree.
Okay.
First of all, I'm a big fan of the original The Decline of Western Civilization.
Mm-hmm.
That, in my opinion, is way more disturbing than The Metal Years. Did you see it? Ever seen it?
I have not seen you it. Have I've to only see it. Seen The Metal Years.
There's a scene where a guy is dead, dies at a show.
Okay.
And they're just getting pictures taken with his body.
Oh, okay. That would probably win.
It is jacked up. And Penelope is a self-professed lifestyle punk rocker. She's almost 70 now.
Oh, yeah. The first part was about the punk rock.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And The Decline of Western Civilization is chilling. It's so intense. The Metal Years is a different atmosphere. And I kind of felt like, even though I didn't know much about her when I first saw it, I kind of felt that she was treating these metal acts kind of cartoonishly. Like, they're kind of portrayed as kind of silly. whereas the punk thing is portrayed in a much more serious way. So
you can tell who she likes better.
It's very obvious that she is a punker and not a metalhead. Biased. I think that she thought that these artists were kind of cute with their crazy hair
and their clothes
and stuff like that. So I have to say, in terms of which one is more disturbing, there is a three, by the way, which I have not seen. I think that the first one is by far way more disturbing. And even if you aren't a big punk rocker, if you like rock at all, you absolutely should watch it, because it is just like, holy crap. There's stuff where you go like.
We have an update from someone saying that was Gigi Allen. They were taking pics within his coffin in the first one.
There's some jacked up stuff in that first one.
Anyway, so we could have included that too.
So we might want Decline of Western Civilization Part 1 and Part 2. But yeah, it's the Chris Holmes thing is tragic.
It's sad.
It's just really sad, because he's just kind of given up on life, and he's just drinking, and she's trying to get him to answer questions, and he's just drinking and not kind of like, you know,
he's not there.
He's kind of not there. There are other people in it though. You know, Alice Cooper is in it, mm-hmm. and he's just like he is now.
Yeah,
he's totally together, totally cogent, you know, totally professional. You know, it's interesting. If you're a metal fan, if you, I can't believe any people who aren't a fan of like the glam metal of that area have never seen it. If you haven't, go. It's fun. You definitely
do it now.
Do it now. Soon, no. Listen to the podcast first, then go do it. Okay, so what's next on the list?
Next on my list is Metallica, Some Kind of Monster from 2003. It's the chronicle of the recording of the group's most despised album, Saint Anger. They end up bringing a life coach in to talk to them through their differences, which it's interesting to see it. I did watch a couple of clips from it. Hetfield is over here claiming his addiction recovery only enables him to work at certain times, and it's like certain hours, and he's a crybaby.
Well, he leaves halfway through part of the way through the recording to go to therapy.
Yeah.
Or to go to rehab, rather.
Yeah.
And he was in rehab again recently, you know.
Yes.
Speaking of Some Kind of Monster.
Lars is over here talking about selling his multi-billion-dollar modern art collection. Dave Mustaine is in the mix, talking about how he was brutally fired. The film makes the entire band look petty, which they are, and jerks, which they are. But since that movie, people seem to have warmed up to them once again and love Metallica once again.
So. Well, I mean, you know.
It sort of made them. I think that humbled them a little bit after that.
Yeah, that it makes them a little bit more like real people, but arrogant real people, like kind of people you don't want to spend any time with. Kurt Hammett is upset because they don't want to do any guitar solos. You don't have Kurt Hammett in your band and not have guitar solos.
Sorry. Stop.
The thing with Dave Mustaine is very bizarre. It's Dave Mustaine and. Lars on a couch, and Dave is talking about how he's like still resentful of Metallica, and he always feels like he's second to them and everything. And I just wanted to reach through the screen and say, dude,
sir,
excuse me, Megadeth. Hello. I believe, and I'm not sure, and I didn't get a chance to look it up. I believe Megadeth has not won a Grammy. They've been Grammy nominated in the heavy metal.
I believe that's correct. Yes.
So they have nothing to be ashamed of. They, you know, it is.
He's just holding a grudge.
It's the big four of
big
thrash.
Four. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no.
It's like you're still up there. Jeez.
You know, I mean, like, and it's his own band. If he would have stayed in Metallica, that wouldn't have been his own band. So,
he's just one of those people.
And yeah, I mean, he's a singer and a songwriter, and he's got a different style than what those guys do. He's got a, you know, totally different thing going on. And he's also been more consistent with the metal, I believe, than Metallica has. Although they have dipped their toe into hard rock, on different occasions as well.
They seem not to be afraid to try different things, even though it doesn't get them anywhere sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, and also there is. So Chronicles the attempt to record this record. It takes a very long time, and. Boy, I mean, I James Hetfield is, I've always loved his rhythm guitar playing and his singing and his lyrics and everything, but I really after watching, I haven't even seen the whole thing. There's a YouTuber that said, made a 5-minute video. And he's like, this is the only stuff that's important in the movie. And it's fun, really funny just for that. But you just come away with this feeling of like, ick, like you guys are kind of like
whiners,
petty, and you know, just it's just
poor
yucky.
Little rich boys.
Now this movie, what was it? It's in the from the early
2000s. 2003.
So we're almost 20 years later. I'm sure the guys have matured a little bit and everything, but yeah, some kind of monster. I wrote in my notes, Metallica goes to a therapist.
That's basically it. That's the gist of
it. And poor Bob Rock is just like, there's a scene where they're arguing. He's like, you know, tomorrow we actually have to do some real work, you know. And they're just like, phew. So let's do one more, and then we'll play another song.
I got Heavy Metal in Baghdad from 2007, and this was very interesting. It goes sort of behind enemy lines to get the story of Akrasakata, a metal power trio, trying to do their thing in Iraq at the same time when we were trying to ousted Hussein. It's shot in between bombings and under threat of death at all turns. It shows the power of metal, how it inspires hope even during the time of war, and just how people are super dedicated to metal and their music. They completely risked their lives to get the footage. They were interrogated as they came into the country. They were told that they would be shot at. So don't be surprised, even though they let them in and do this. This was with the help of Vice magazine and the article about the band. And they were able to actually sell out a show during this whole crazy thing, which I thought was kind of interesting. And it actually took 3 years to shoot it, which also.
The band were big Metallica fans as well.
And I could tell.
They did eventually immigrate to the United States, and they apparently did get to meet Metallica. Metallica had known who they were, and there was a big sort of like, oh my God, you know, Metallica.
Starstruck.
Very starstruck. The documentary is touching and inspiring because these guys love music, and in the, you know, and it makes you go, here's what it does, guys, to all my musician friends out there who are going like, I can't, there's no, nobody wants to hear my music, and I can't get anything going, and nobody,
you ain't doing nothing.
You know what? if these guys can do something in the middle of a freaking war, they managed to find a way to release music and be a band. No excuses. No freaking
None.
Excuses. Just, that's it. Just, so anyway, so yeah, Heavy Metal in Baghdad, really powerful. I watched it. When it came out, I believe it premiered on Netflix. And that's where I saw it.
Nice.
Great. Fantastic. All right. This is Young Other, and we're going to come back and talk about some more disturbing rock docs. Stick around, guys. That is Young Other. And you want to go to, it's very simple, youngother.com. We open the show with Bad Actress, Facebook.com, Facebook.com backslash, I am not drinking either, backslash Bad Actress Band. So yeah, great, we got some great music tonight. We're going to play a band called Samarkind. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, I know them.
You know. So how do you say it again?
Samarkind.
Sam are kind. Instead of saying Sam is kind, Sam are kind.
Well, that's how they told me to say it. Okay, so I'm going to take their word for it.
If we got time, we're going to try to get in a Dead Man's Whiskey.
Word.
Great name, Dead Man's Whiskey. I like that.
Too bad you didn't think of it.
I feel like they should dress like pirates. I don't know what they look like, but they should dress like pirates. Okay, so we are talking about Disturbing Rock Docs. We open the show with Lamb of God as the Palace Boynes. Then we talked a little bit about the decline of Western civilization, Metallica, Some Kind of Monster, and wrapped up the first segment with Heavy Metal in Baghdad. What do you got next on that list there, Lilith?
Next on my list is Until the Light Takes Us, 2009. American documentary film about the early Norwegian black metal scene. So you know this is going to include interviews with bands like Mayhem and Immortal. They have archive footage of both Euronymous and Dead from Mayhem, who were part of the controversial stories when Euronymous encouraged Dead to commit suicide and when he was taking photos of the deceased Dead. Not even batting an eye, didn't care that he was dead or what have you. This is his bandmate, and he's just like, oh, this is funny, blah, blah, blah. The photos were used for the live bootleg album, The Dawn of the Black. Euronymous later was murdered by his bandmate, Varg Vikernes, in 1993 by a fatal stab wound. And one of the most shocking scenes in the film is seeing Frost Harlstad, the drummer of Satyricon, going to one of his performance art shows where he's fire-breathing and cutting himself with a knife in front of live audience, which I don't think I could handle. An actual cutting. If it's a fake cutting, we got this. Like, I've seen bands gut other people in bands, and it's not a big deal because it's not real. But this is real, so.
Yeah. Do you guys know the song? Holding On to Black Metal. Every time we talk about black metal, I think of the song by My Morning Jacket, Holding On to Black Metal. I saw this documentary and was like, what?
It's disturbing.
It's like, I can't relate to any of the people in it. I don't understand what they're doing. It doesn't make any sense to me. We have a couple other black metal kind of things on the list as well. And this
it's just
is
not
where
your thing.
This is, I just don't get it. Why?
You can't answer that question.
Just why? Well, I know, and I watched the documentary, and I was like, I still don't get it.
I don't know.
What's wrong with you people? They seem to want to, they seem to have some problem with, like, Western culture, American culture kind of taking over their country. They vaguely kind of blamed like the fact that they had a TGI Fridays and a Pizza Hut, and it was like I didn't know what in the hell they were doing. I thought when I watched it, because I did not know anything about this music and had gone over my head, I sort of thought is this fake? Like, is this one of those like a mockumentary?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where, you know, we're just doing something so extreme. And the person I was with, the girlfriend that I was watching it with, we're kind of asking that question both ourselves. We're like, what? And then somebody later told us that no, there's like in Norway, it was like church burnings, and
they were doing, there was a lot of stuff going on.
No, it was actually a real thing. People were really scared. If a movie like The Decline of Western Civilization or the Lamb of God movie that sort of shows that rock and rollers are just normal people and just go through normal stuff that they go through, they have some problems, you know, like the Metallica movie shows, you know, they're dealing with different life issues like the Heavy Metal in Baghdad. This is the opposite. this is no rockers are evil.
and they don't care if they kill their friends or their friends commit suicide.
Like they're I watch this and I go like, okay, this is like Charles Manson didn't get locked up. He went to Norway and started black metal.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of like impression you got from it. I don't have really much to say about it. It's just like interesting for like it's kind of like looking at like not that the movie itself is a train wreck, but the situation is kind of a train wreck. And you say you're watching it for like the shock value of like that's you know what I mean?
The stuff that
it's like
happened
certain reality and, TV you might watch or something like that. It's like I don't know. It's just not, yeah. Let's talk about something else.
All right. This one isn't so disturbing, but the band itself is. It's Centuries of Torment, the first 20 years, 2008. It's Cannibal Corpse specific. It's a three hour plus documentary.
It's like on three DVDs or two DVDs or something.
Three discs. It's the history of the band plus tons of extras. They have some home video footage. It's like literally every step in their long and sort of people say disgusting career, but because of the visuals of their band
and
everything. Yeah,
but these guys are
they're
not
normal.
Like...
They're normal guys.
These guys are not like Until the Light Takes Us. These guys are putting on a show.
Right, exactly.
I watched some of this, and they're just like, hey, John used to come over to my house all the time, and all the kids were just having fun, and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's not... And it's like...
They're quite normal guys. The disc one goes album to album. Disc two features some of the live performances. Where it comes in a little disturbing is the bonus chunks... disc, which is the third disc. They get into more detail about the topics of their graphic artwork. There's a disturbing claymation featurette called Kill Crane, and like I said, they talk about Metalocalypse, but they're very normal guys. The shock value from this comes from their art, their lyrics, the songs themselves. It's very disturbing type stuff coming from normal guys who are just they have an outlet to get the anger out, and it's actually very innocent. And they were actually an Ace Ventura Pet Detective. I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
Yep.
I always looked at them as a sort of like, and this is no offense to them. Okay, I don't mean no disrespect, but I always kind of looked at them as a kind of like satire of violence.
Yeah.
The sort of showing the absurdity of it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I never thought that they never scared me or anything like that. I just thought it's not my thing.
Their songs are disturbing and the lyrics are disturbing and it's very in your face, screamy Cookie Monster type songs. If you're into that, like I love Cannibal Corpse. It's one of my favorite bands, but, that's where the shock value
what
comes
is
from.
Your,
it's a great...
What are your top three favorite Cannibal Corpse songs?
Oh God. It's Hammer Smash Face, that one about that I talked about the other day, Shredded Humans, and then I can't even think of a third
Hammer
one.
Hammer Smash Face.
I love that song.
That's a great title. Hammer Smash Face.
But I think they're great, and they're very normal. And the fact that they did the one guy did a cartoon, George Fisher's. The vocalist, he did Metalocalypse. He was in that. So.
Oh, he's in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I didn't realize
that. That makes me feel like they're very normal.
Yeah,
people.
They're just, yeah.
They just do the shock value.
Are, like I said, their parents are in the documentary and some of the uncles and stuff. Yeah. It's just like,
right.
We're just guys.
It's a good one. You should go watch that if you want something not black metal.
Yeah, well, this is the sort of antithesis of Until the Light Takes Us.
Right.
It's opposites.
Right.
Give me another one.
We're gonna do Pantera 3 Watch It Go, 1997. These all seem tame now that I've talked about that other one. This one is Pantera specific, like it says. It's a chronicle of the band that does show some music videos, but it also has some of their antics. The band has definitely raised hell on stage, but this also shows what they've done to other things, like this destroying of dressing rooms and cars, playing pranks on each other, and then the drinking and puking that they did, which was quite often. And there was the lovely case of poo-pooing in the woods that they show on the video as well. But nothing wrong with that. You probably just don't want to watch it. I don't want to watch it.
Again.
Very calm.
Compared to, I mean, like...
Like, these are all going to sound tame now.
they sound tame compared to Until the Light Takes Us.
Well, the next one's a black metal one. So.
Okay. Let's go ahead. Let's hit that real quick. The, what is it? What's it called again?
Murder Music, A History of Black Metal, 2007. This one actually only aired on British pay-per-view. It centers around, the controversial black metal subgenre. They touch on Black Sabbath and Venom, but also the anti-Christian controversies surrounding the criminal acts, like the arson we talked about, the murder of the early Norwegian scene. There's also the paradox of Christian form of black metal represented by Scandinavian band Frostharder. They interview, again, Mayhem.
What
and
is
Immortal.
That again? Christian what?
Christian black metal.
What is that? Are they, like, is it like
It's a Christian black like metal Christian band. Rock. Yes.
Okay, Christian black metal. Okay.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, whatever. But they
I know that there's probably we probably have fans who love black metal and they're probably hating us right now.
Probably.
They're probably thinking, you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I will admit I am woefully ignorant on black metal.
No, like I know some of it, but I don't know Christian black metal. Again, an interviewing Mayhem, Immortal, Satyricon, and Cradle of Filth. Non-musicians are also interviewed, like John Seltzer, who was Terrifier magazine's editor. And I'm going to say this guy's name wrong. It's Didrik Soderlund, who was the co-writer of the book Lords of Chaos, which discusses the murders and the church burnings and all of that sort of thing that happened then. They do touch on the band Black Widow, whose stage performance was highly controversial. They used to base it on black magic that included ritual nudity and mock weaponry. And at that time, and you know, when they were doing this stuff, that was like a shocker, that sort of thing. Most of the bands they interviewed talked about Satanism and the occult. And once again, they talk about death, suicide, the church burnings, the murder. And a lot of the bands they interviewed said Dead's suicide was a PR stunt, which is kind of sick and twisted. I don't know anybody who would kill themselves as a PR stunt, but that's cool. And this one, I can't actually find the whole thing anywhere. I don't know if you saw it anywhere, but I was able to find various clips of points in the film, but I couldn't find the whole thing at once.
Yeah, I found some clips. Well, they talked about Venom as a kind of one of the progenitors of that. now, a really calm one that you had on your list is now this is practically like light entertainment. Is Metal a Headbanger's Journey?
I love this though. It's not really shocking. But.
It's not really shocking, but they do what I liked about this is there is a discussion about what metal means, and it does. And it relates to people that feel disaffected, that feel unrepresented in society, that feel like they don't quite fit in, but they're not sad. They feel like this is their community, and I think that is the most powerful takeaway from like all of these documentaries that we've talked about. Is that like it's not a pathetic thing. It is people who feel like this, this is my tribe. These are the kind of people I relate to, and we're big on individualism, and we went to see the Slayer show, you see, I saw people dressed all kinds of different ways. Mm.
And it was a very big community.
While moshing has really like been way toned down. It's almost like a sort of like version of breakdancing.
Depending on the show you go to.
Yeah. it's just a sort of like community of people that just the express who hold kind of like individualism as a sort of like their like main value. They've got to, I gotta be me is kind of like the whole thing with them. And so they have this, so that's what the community is. And so that was a thing. I think it was a kind of main theme kind of in Headbangers, a Headbangers Journey. Cause it does focus on that, on the fans in that way.
I feel that this was one of the most well done documentaries and most organized. The man who did it, Sam Dunn, he was 31 years old when he started this. It's so well chronicled. He is over 40 musicians he interviews, over 25 non-musicians.
It's very thorough and it's very professional.
He's got charts and graphs. He's got a flow chart of all the subgenres of metal. I had it printed out, forgot to bring it over. And he also has like just a timeline of everything. And he was so organized, and I think it's just very well done. And the only shocking thing I really saw in it was when they talked about the Dee Snider with the PMRC trials that they do show, and then a lot of the Norwegian black metal bands were hired drunk during the interviews, but that's the only thing that was shocking about it. But I think it's really well done, and you should just go see it.
So not quite that disturbing. Almost wouldn't have put it on the list. And the same with the Pantera thing. It's not
crazy.
It's your typical rock guys acting kind of
Those are the
good
time ones.
Fellas. You know what I mean? So we got one more to talk about.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this thing because we're actually, and I apologize, I don't think we're going to get to both bands that I talked about. So we'll have to save, we'll save Dead Man's Whiskey for next week.
All right.
So go ahead.
So this last one, which I hate talking about this guy, but hated Gigi Allen and the Murder Junkies from 1993. He is more punk. I feel like he needs to be listed on here because of how disturbing and extreme that he was. It's about his life in stage shows. They were very confrontational shows. He did Indecent Exposure, On Stage Defecation. He ate the substance that he defecated. I don't like
what?
To say it. Yeah, he ate it. Physical assault, obscene language. There's footage shown of some of these things on the actual documentary. And the filmmakers actually shot additional material on his death from a heroin overdose during post-production. He talks about his early years of childhood and how his father tried to encourage his family to assist him in mass suicide. His original name is Jesus Christ by his father. When he did go see the initial screening of the documentary, he was very intoxicated. He threw beer bottles at people. He actually injured somebody. And he fled before the police arrived. He never saw the complete film because it happened days before he died. He did give positive feedback after he was sober to the guy who made the film and gave him a hug.
Oh.
So that's...
Yeah, I want a hug from a guy who defecates on stage.
He poops himself and eats it.
Yeah. it's called Hated.
Hated.
Gigi Allen and the Murder Kings. I heard... Eddie Trunk discussing. I've not seen this, and I'm not going to. I just don't want to see it.
I heard
Eddie Trunk discussing this, and they talked about how, now your bands will sell merchandise like Gene Simmons.
We'll sell
you know, the bits and of the, you know, the show. So if you want he'll sell you the bass he played. If there's blood on it from he does the thing with the blood.
With the spitting blood.
It's like another $1,000. Yeah, it's like $3,000 for the bass. And if you get one with blood on it, it's like another $1,000, right? Okay, so like stuff like that is like not, Kiss is, of course, the king of doing that sort of thing. But... Gigi Allen and the Murder Kings were not above, they were businessmen. And they were not above
junkies
trying to make a buck. And as the story goes, the drummer would stick his drumsticks up his poop hole.
Mm.
And these were then sold to fans.
Nope.
And
I don't need that.
The farther up the stick had been, the more money it commanded.
That hurts. That hurts me even thinking about that. Oh, God.
And I did not watch it. And after the podcast, we should watch it.
Oh.
There is a video on YouTube of both Dr. Phil and who's the black guy? Steve...
Harvey?
No. Steve Harvey.
Is it Steve Harvey?
Reacting to Gigi Allen.
Okay.
And like, I meant to go back and watch it today and I forgot. So like, we should watch their reactions because those two are going to be like, freaking out.
Oh, Dr. Phil probably.
Yeah, he probably lost his mind.
Probably drank chlorine after.
Anyways, guys, so. Check out these documentaries. Hated, Gigi Allen, the Murder Kings, Lamb of God, As the Palace Burns, Metal, A Headbanger's Journey. I have that bookmark. I really want to watch that. Centuries of Torment, The First 20 Years of Cannibal Corpse. Great title. Until the Light Takes Us. Heavy Metal in Baghdad. Fantastic. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it. Some Kind of Monster about Metallica's forays into therapy, group therapy. The Decline of Western Civilization.
Which, if you haven't seen it, you should have.
Highly recommend both the first one and the second, as well as the Pantera 3. What's it called again? Pantera what?
Pantera 3, something, something, something.
Something, something, something.
Watch it go.
Watch it go. So check them all out. And if you guys want to pop over to LouLombardiRocks.com, you start, you know, tell us which ones you liked, and we'll do some conversations about it. I've been banned from Facebook now for a month. I'm about ready to be unbanned here in the next few days. So I won't be able to do those. But I'm really liking YouTube, and I'm feeling at home here. So I think that the podcasts are just going to, we're just going to kind of do the Facebook thing as a kind of an additional thing and mainly stick with YouTube. So you guys just have to come over and hang out with the YouTube. That you'll just have to do that. You've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. LouLombardiRocks.com is the best way to get more information about that. Shout out one more time to Wolf's Customs at wolfscustoms.online. Get that custom guitar. And of course, as always, Rock Rage Radio, which is just the absolute best. Those guys are so great. We do appreciate their support. They've brought the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus and Company to a much bigger audience. So we do appreciate that, guys. We are kicking around. I've got it. Lily and I are going to discuss possibility for next week's show. I need to confirm with who our guest might be before I totally decide on it. But I do have an idea, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it, guys. We're going to get out of here. Oh, and how do you say these guys' names?
Samarkind.
Samarkind. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna wrap up with Samarkind. My apologies to Dead Man's Whiskey. We'll do some Dead Man's Whiskey. We'll play them first next week, okay? Anyways, guys, thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll catch you guys all on the next Ludini Rock. Oh, Lily, I'm sorry. Your show. I beg your pardon, sweetheart.
They know my show. It's okay. It's Hot Licks with Lily 6, Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern on Rock Rage Radio. Download the app for free or go to rockrageradio.com.
All right. We'll catch you guys all in the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.